We're here. My producer hates it when I do that. Forgot something, so I had to go get it while the music was on. Good evening. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. And welcome back for more interviews on this Monday evening. Tonight's presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. By Honeydew Donuts, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire. By Moore GMC of Danvers. By Harrington Trophy at Chestnut Street in Lynn. By attorney Robert J. Madruga in Gloucester. By the Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. By the Lynn Museum. By Columbia Insurance of Lynn. By the Porthole Restaurant, also in Lynn. By the Lynn Auditorium. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Well, there you go. Now we can kill the music, I guess. Hello, once again, I'm Rick Moore, and along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, we have North Shore Sports Night for you on this Monday night. And a full lineup of guests scheduled for this evening as the playoffs continue in at the end of November here, the middle of November, rather, the MIAA playoffs. We're going to talk with both St. Mary's soccer coaches, St. Mary's of Lynn, their boys coach, Mike D'Agostino, and their girls coach, Jim Foley, as they both teams pulled off big wins this weekend. A tremendous win by the St. Mary's girls, and they are on a bit of a Cinderella run. We'll talk a little bit more about that as they, of course, beat Manchester Essex 1-0, or 1-love, or 1-0. And then, by the way, our Manchester Essex girls losing in field hockey, too, to the that machine of the Watertown girls' field hockey, 4-0. But we will talk with St. Mary's boys coach, and we'll talk with St. Mary's girls coach, Jim Foley, as we mentioned, the boys coach, Mike D'Agostino, and the boys also on a big run. St. Mary's football continues to win. They won on Friday night, as you heard Bill Newell and Tim Kearns bring you that game. So they continue in the tournament. And, of course, the big game on Friday night that we will be broadcasting, it will be audio only, as the MIAA controls all video rights. Well, they control all the rights, actually, to the games. But they we will be broadcasting on radio, internet radio, Danvers versus Melrose from Manning Field at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And we'll talk with former Gloucester football coach Paul Ingram about that in just a little while and some other things. Gloucester Times sports editor Nick Kukuru will take a look around Cape Ann at teams that were involved in tournament action, and if anybody is still left. I don't think so. I think everybody's out, but Nick will bring us up to date on that. And we'll talk with Scott Cooper, who is following some tournament action for Marblehead and Swampscott as I speak. So all of that's coming up here on North Shore Sports Night. We invite your comments. Send them along by email to msonewsports.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. And the MSO, of course, meaning our parent company, if you will. More stuff online. So that's what the MSO means, and some of you have been with us for a long time. We started this endeavor 10 years ago. Tim Kearns, by the way, is off tonight, and Tim will be broadcasting on Thanksgiving Day. He'll be at Manning Field. We will have a bunch of Thanksgiving Day games coming up, or at least covered. We'll be doing our usual blitz of talking with the coaches and so on. Our broadcast games at the moment will be Danvers at Gloucester and Lynn English versus Lynn Classical. We're not sure yet about Beverly-Salem if we're going to be covering that one. So stay tuned. We'll let you know. All right. Sorry about the coughing and hacking as the cold continues. So I think that's it. One other note in the Gloucester Times today, Nick Kukuru talked about the Manchester Essex Cross Country winning their third straight Division VI sectional crown. So we'll ask Nick about that later on in the show. Okay, so we'll take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll be checking in with St. Mary's girls soccer coach Jim Foley. This is North Shore Sports Night, and you're listening to MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plastown, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up. Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Okay, we're back now, and we're joined by St. Mary's girls soccer coach Jim Foley. Coach, welcome to MSO.
How you doing?
Coach, doing well. Not too bad, except for the coughing into the mic. But how are you guys doing? Looks like you're on a pretty good run right now after having really an electrifying win over Manchester Essex on the weekend.
Yeah, you know, we're playing, you know, maybe we peaked at the right time. You know, a couple weeks ago, you know, we were kind of struggling a little bit, you know, but we were able to kind of pull it together and, you know, hopefully we keep the run going. The last four games have been really special, starting with that first one against Austin Prep, and then since then it's just kind of been really amazing run that we've had.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that a little bit, Coach, because according to the item, you guys didn't qualify till the next to the last game of the season. So is this a question of your team playing a tough schedule or just maybe finally coming together toward the end of the season?
Well, I think that our first seed, I mean, our league is really good. You know, Catholic Central, you know, some of the teams that we play, Bishop Fenwick, Austin Prep, Arlington Catholic, Archbishop Williams, Cardinal Spelman. So we were really battle-tested, and I think, you know, we had some injuries, and, you know, I think we kind of underachieved, really, to be honest with you, in the beginning of the season. But, you know, towards the end, we made some switches in lineups and kind of, I don't know, we've been playing really well since we've done that, you know. So it's a testament to the hard work of the girls.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about this game on Saturday, was it, you guys played, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that game, because obviously a thriller, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the team and the kids.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, Manchester, we knew, you know, that was going to be a battle, because, you know, again, you know, they play in the Cape League, which is a premier, you know, league, you know, in the state. I mean, with some great teams also, and so I knew that their record was a little bit deceiving, you know, the six wins, but, you know, checking on their scores, they didn't really get blown out by anybody. And going to finish, you know, second in their small to get in, I knew that, you know, it was going to be a battle for us. And I think it was just, you know, we were a little bit nervous, to be honest with you. It's the first time we've ever played in, you know, a game of that magnitude. And I think once we kind of settled in, you know, we're able to kind of do what we need to do, kind of slow some things down, and then, you know, my senior captain was able to put the ball in the net, which is, you know, a good thing.
You know, Coach, you mentioned something of interest to me. You know, obviously your league is a dynamite league with those schools you mentioned, and the schedule in every single sport is so difficult. And then you mentioned Manchester Essex, which is a very small school. And we think of Manchester Essex particularly in football and some of the other, you know, sports, the boys' sports in particular, as a really small school. But in some of these events, such as soccer and field hockey and lacrosse, these smaller schools in the Cape Ann League and even some of the smaller schools in the Northeastern Conference are very strong.
Oh, definitely. You know, and I think it's just, you know, sometimes people look at the size of a school and they don't, you know, give you as much probably as respect as you deserve. But, So when you play in a decent league, like, you know, we're a small school in a good league, and so is Manchester FC. I mean, they're a small, but I mean, considering the size of the school and the kids that they have, they've done really well in certain sports. So, you know, I knew that eventually their soccer team was going to, you know, I think they had some seniors and they have some young kids too, so they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future, definitely.
All right, tell us about your kids. Who's come along for you? Who's been your stars, and who have been some of the surprises?
You know, I start off with my three senior captains. You know, Kayla Capozzi, who was our leading scorer, and she's the one that we kind of had to make an adjustment. Kind of, we weren't, you know, playing as great defensively as we needed to, and when we needed to kind of tie Fadel Thumb, and she went back to sweeper. No, you know, whatever I need to do for the team, and she'd take that kind of attitude. Since we put her back to sweeper, you know, she's really our striker, but since we put her back in sweeper, we've kind of settled the defense. And then, you know, my center mid, Kaylin DeShane, she's not a captain. She's a great leader, does really well on the field. She's our second leading scorer. And, you know, she's been a varsity starter since she was a freshman. And also, you know, my other captain, Katie Turbin, who kind of helped anchor the defense also back at stopper. So those three really. And then, you know, I have a dynamite sophomore, you know, Mia Nicolopoulos. You know, she's a phenomenal player in the center also. And then, you know, one of my girls I coach basketball as an assistant to, and one of my basketball players, Jamie, play, you know, from Peabody. She's had a dynamite job. She's usually a outside mid, but we had to move her back defense to kind of settle that down. And so once we've kind of done that, you know, my other defender, Michaela Hamill, on the other side, you know, she's done a phenomenal job. And also, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth with two keepers, but lately, you know, Emily Stevenson from Salem has really stepped up, and she had two huge saves in the PK shootout against Austin Prep, and she's had a great tournament run since, you know, we've been winning. In the last four games, she's only let up one goal, so that's a testament to how hard she's worked.
Sounds like you got a bunch of leaders on the team.
Yep.
Jim, was there any particular game that that might serve as a turning point or a pleasant surprise for you guys?
I think we went down to Arlington Catholic, the team who we had tied. We beat them. And then I think going down to Spelman, you know, a team who was, you know, they had only had one loss against Bishop Fenwick. And, you know, we haven't done particularly well against them. And we kind of needed that tie and a win to kind of get back into the thing to even have a chance to get the win, you know, when we beat Whittier Tech. But we needed a tie, and so we went down there, and that was probably the biggest game, mm-hmm. I would say, that we've had all year. You know, in terms of getting in the tournament, that was probably the turning point for us. I think we kind of believed, I always thought we were good, but I kind of think that we kind of realized how good we were when we did that, that we could, you know, once we got in the tournament, I said that, girls, you know, just by the schedule we played, if we could get in the tournament, we play in a good league, and we can do some things in the tournament. And I think once the kids started to believe that and, you know, realize that we were a good team, and we kind of, you know, we probably should have beaten some other people that we did in the beginning, of the season. We had some ties that we really shouldn't have had that should have been wins. And I think once they settled down and realized they're a good team, again, I think that really helped us.
You know,
I would say that stretch of those two games was a big turning point for us.
Funny times, sometimes they call it an aha moment, but a lot of times in sports it's that thing is when you do something that you believe you can do, but then you finally do it, then you realize, and the kids realize, hey, we can do this, and we are able to do this. So sounds like that's what you guys finally faced.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think they knew that, you know, we had a good start to the season, and I think we kind of scuffled. And I think then, you know, once we kind of moved everybody around and kind of put the people where they really should be, and maybe I should have done that sooner, you know, everybody kind of bought into where they were and what they were playing. Kind of we settled on defense. You know, and then, you know, once our offense, you know, it's tough. Now we have one person up top, who's another one of my basketball players. You know, Marnell Garrod, you know, she's come a long way. You know, basketball is really her main sport, but, you know, she's become an unbelievable soccer player too up top. You know, and a great scorer for us. And I think once everybody got on the same page and realized, hey, we can do something here. You know, I think it was, you know, we were struggling a bit. We were kind of winning and losing some, maybe tying games that we should have tied. Once they kind of realized, hey, we can do something here, I think now everybody's on the same page, and, you know, hopefully we just keep our run going.
Nice having those multi-sports athletes. And you also have student athletes at St. Mary's as well.
We do. I mean, you know, we have, you know, a ton of my girls, you know, like another one, you know, my outside mids. You know, she's an honor roll student, Casey Freya, you know, Sophia Fuccioni. You know, we've always had, I mean, last year my two captains won two in the class, and they both went to Bentley, and and BU, you know, on almost full boat. So, that's
a nice
testament to the hard work of the classroom. I mean, that's, I'm a teacher also, so, and Lynn, so that's always my first priority. I mean, if you're not doing it in the classroom, you can't do it on the court or on the soccer field.
Yeah, I taught math for 38 years at Gloucester, Jim, and my younger daughter wants to go to BU, so, it's like, oh, boy. Hello. Listen,
exactly.
Before we take a look at your upcoming game, tell me a little bit about your background, Jim, because it's the first time I've had a chance to talk with you. I know Bill has, Bill Newell, but I haven't. And maybe a little bit of background on you mentioned your teaching and how you got to where you are.
I'm a phys ed teacher, Lynn. This is my 23rd year teaching there. I've been coaching probably since I was 21, so I've been around a while. I was an assistant in Marblehead, an assistant in Classical. Then I came to St. Mary's. This is my 17th year at St. Mary's. I started as an assistant my first year. I took over as a head coach, and, I've been there ever since. And my wife teaches there. She's the head of the Marion Division, which is the 6-8. I also have my twin daughter as a freshman at the school. So I've kind of, I'm a Swampscott grad. Played some soccer at Swampscott High in 1986, but I've kind of been at home at St. Mary's since I've, been coaching there. It's kind of really my
excellent
home,
excellent,
to be honest with you. It's a great place. We have a great family atmosphere. The kids, we do a lot of community service there, and it's just a really great, it's a small little gem that, even though it's in downtown Lynn, and sometimes that takes a little bit of a bad rap, it's a great little place with some great students and some great people. There's a lot of people that are sacrificing, do a lot, and kids, do a lot there, in terms of community service. I mean, it's really a hidden gem, to be honest with you. I love being there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility. I visited there many times, and it's awesome. Well, Coach, final question for me is, you got East Bridgewater coming up. I believe that game is tomorrow night. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So, what are we expecting? What are you doing with the kids right now?
We haven't, we're not reinventing the wheels. I tell them we just take it one game at a time. I told them this, 4 teams left in Division 4. We're one of the 4 teams left, and, we're 2 wins away from the state title. We're playing the defending state champs. They're a good team, but I think, if we play our game, we should be okay. And, we have a tough opponent, but, you just gotta make the best of your moments. I think we had a good win the other day, and like I said to them, think about it. We're 2 wins away from winning the whole thing. So
fantastic.
It's a special thing. And I've been able to, taste that as an assistant. Chuck Newell on the basketball team. So, I won 2 state titles there, and I kind of know what the feeling's like when you get to this point. It's, every 2 days you're playing, and this is it. But after Saturday, if we keep going, it'll be over, and then we'll be on to winter sports. So make the most of your moment, and hopefully we can come out with a victory. That's all we're looking for.
Sounds great, Coach. Keep it going. It's a great ride, and have fun with it. And congratulations, Jim, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, good luck. That's
thank you.
Jim
right.
Foldy, who is the girls' soccer coach at St. Mary's High School of Lynn. Next up will be Mike D'Agostino. We'll talk to Coach D'Agostino in just a second. First, we'll take a break, and we'll come right back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence. We pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our 3 locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613. Stop in at 268 Rantoul Street or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back, and we're joined now by St. Mary's boys soccer coach, Mike D'Agostino. Mike, first of all, congratulations on your most recent victories, and welcome to MSO.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Rick.
Coach, we just talked with Jim Foley, the girls' coach, and, man, you got something in the drinking water over there at St. Mary's. The football team is all in roll. You guys are doing great. So tell us a little bit about this big win you had over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a great win against Boston International. You know, we played them last year in the semifinals and beat them in a tough game, and, you know, we were looking forward to playing them this year, coming into they have a lot of talented players and a lot of aggressive players, and it was a big game, and, you know, we just, you know, playing on the home field in the beginning was definitely a huge, huge advantage for us, and it definitely helped out, and it set the tone for getting us ready to definitely take our first Division IV North final title in the last 27 years, so
right.
A long time.
All right, Coach, before we talk about the team and some of your players and the schedule and so on, first time I've had a chance to talk with you, so maybe you could give our listeners a little bit of background as to who you are and how you got where you are.
Yeah, I'm Mike D'Agostino. I coach St. Mary's boys soccer. I'm an alumni of St. Mary's, class of 98. You know, I started coaching about 14, 15 years ago. I started Salem High School in Salem, Mass. The JV coach for 6 years, and then I took over the head job at Salem for 2 years, and then you know, after a few years at Salem, I took over St. Mary's, and I found it was open, so it was my seventh year at St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, well, now tell us a little bit about the team, because you guys have had an outstanding season, and, you know, you're rolling along pretty well, but maybe a highlight or two of this season when you knew that you had something good going.
You know, to be honest, it was the first preseason game down in Cape Cod when we were playing Bourne. I knew we had some things going for us, and you know, there's a lot of talent here and a lot of different kids that have skills and talents that can help in many different spots. So I was definitely pleased a lot of the kids in the first game, and we just tested in spots where we can fill the gaps from the kids we lost last year. We lost like a lot of big talent last year, and we filled that void. So,
mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm reading a story in the item about Boston International, and I got to tell you, I'd never heard of it before, but apparently they got a pretty damn good soccer program.
They do. They're talented, and there's a lot of good teams there, and, you know, they have a good team. You know, but we definitely, you know, out-hustled them and stuck with our game plan and definitely helped us get through the game.
All right, you're in a tough conference, Mike. So who are some of the highlights this year for your kids?
Well, the highlights is who we're playing tomorrow night will be Archbishop Williams. Is, you know, they won the conference, was a nail-biter at our game. We beat them at their field and they beat us at our field. So I think it's a rematch of that back at our field again. You know, and Archbishop Williams is definitely a highlight, along with Bishop Fenwick, who we beat in the first round, you know, to find out, you know. So those are two big rivals, Catholic schools that are tough in the, one in the North Shore, one in the South Shore that we go at every year.
Do your kids play in the off season? Do they know any of these other kids on the other teams? Sometimes, you know, kids across the conferences will do that in the off season. Do your kids know any of the other kids, like at Archbishop Williams?
There's a couple of kids that play club soccer with each other through other club levels.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely from Fenwick, the kids know each other from other sports and along with club soccer. So those kids, it's a big rival there between Bishop Fenwick and St. Mary's.
So. All right, so you split with the Archies. Now, what are their strengths? What do you have to go after?
Well, they got two tall guys in the middle. They got some height. They're both 6 feet plus in the middle. So we definitely have to win the balls in the air against them, as Brian, the head coach, will know. And, you know, they got a fast forward up front that we're going to definitely have one of our freshmen stick on. Nolan's been doing very well in the back for us, so he did a good job shutting down Boston International's set up front, and he'll do another good game of it, so we should be fine.
What's the strength of you guys? What's your strength?
You know, we're a good passing team. We move the ball on very well, and we stay composed. That's our goal, is to, you know, keep the ball moving, not to really be a dribbling team, a passing team. If you keep them moving, they can't get it, so work the ball to the net and get some shots up. We get some good talent that can cut the goalies and pick their spots, so we get some snipers here.
How's practice going? You doing anything special this week?
Yeah, no, it was pretty low-key. We kept it simple. You know, we didn't really push them too hard. I got a bunch of kids that are banged up from the last couple of games. They've given blood, sweat, and tears, so we're just trying to keep it simple.
All right, Coach, brag about some of the kids. Maybe some of the kids you expected good performance from and others who might have stepped up.
You know, kids that definitely stepped up this year. Ken Hennessy, senior from Lynn, definitely really filled the void up front for us. Couple of kids, defensive junior Christian Kulia, you know,
playing through a hurt quad, and he's putting solid on the back right now. Donnie White, second year from Swampscott as a senior. He's guiding the team in the back as a sweeper. Richie Mateo and Brandon Flores have been splitting time in net, and one's a senior, one's a sophomore, and they're both playing great when they get in there. I got a eighth grader playing right back for me, so, you know, we got all diversity. This is a small school. He's doing great. It's Jose Perez. And then I also got Olu George, the George brothers. Olu's a freshman, and I got his brother Jamel. They're both doing great for me. One's up front, and one's in the middle. So, you know, there's a lot of diversity here. Mm-hmm. With kids. And then Chris Garcia from Wakefield just stepped up and got a huge goal against Boston International. So I'm very pleased. But, and then my two captains I have to give credit to. Kevin Esper dominating the middle of the field. Along with Dan Montoya has been doing great on the outside, up and down.
Are you able to spell some of your kids, rotate some in and out, or do they just sort of have to pace themselves?
It's a mix. I'm trying to, you know, last game we got a bunch of kids banged up, so I'm trying to, you know, rotate some kids in. I got a bunch of caliber kids that can come off. You know, with the cold weather, it's kind of hard to do that right now. It's going to be 20, 30 degrees tomorrow, but, you know, I'm trying to get some kids in there just to give them some minutes to stay fresh and, you know, get some fresh legs out there, because some of the kids, you know, playing 80 minutes, it's exhausting, let me tell you. But we get it going. The momentum's going for us right now, and everyone's looking good, so.
All right. Do you know what the feeling like is at the school? I'm just wondering, because as a public school teacher, we never had this many teams in a tournament at one time. But, I mean, you got football going, you got girls soccer going, boys soccer going. I mean, it sounds like just tremendous, tremendous extracurricular activities over there at St. Mary's.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids, you know, they do three sports at the school, and they all help out, and they're a high caliber, a lot of talent, not just individual-wise, but they're diverse kids with a lot of talent, and, you know, they're all supporting each other. Boys go to the girls' games and the football games, so it's a small school, but it's very family-oriented, so they're all helping each other and guiding each other and supporting each other in each sport.
That's super. All right, now what time's the game tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's 7 o'clock at Manning against Archbishop Williams, and the girls are at 5.
That'll be right after the girls. Okay, so anything else you want to mention, Coach?
No, I know I'm very proud of my boys. It's great that we, you know, it's been 27 years since we won the title in the North, and I'm pleased for the kids. And, you know, I wish I could have done it in 98 when I was there, but I'm glad to be a coach, and I'm glad these kids are, you know, giving me everything they have, and I'm very pleased the way we're going.
Sounds great.
I hope we can keep it going.
Sounds great. Mike, great talking with you. Hope to talk with you again soon, and best of luck tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Doing well.
All right, that's Mike DiAgostino, who is the boys soccer coach at St. Mary's of Lynn, and, man, they got it going over there, football. Boys soccer, girls soccer, they get it going. All right. Now, ice hockey too, right? Girls ice hockey and boys ice hockey? Good heavens. Okay, we'll take a break, come back in, and we'll check in with Paul Ingram. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, we're back, and joining us now is former Gloucester High School football coach Paul Ingram. And Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Good. Doing well, Rick.
Good, good. I don't know where Kearns is tonight. He's off somewhere, but he'll be around again. Paul, I don't know if you've I know you were off last weekend, and I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at the football stuff, but the last man standing in the tournament is Danvers, and I don't think that's a surprise, but they've got one more hurdle to overcome, and then they go on down to Gillette. You have any thoughts about this Danvers team?
Well, I was away, and when I opened up the paper and I saw that they won, I was surprised. I got to say that, but you know what? You got to hand it to them. They've certainly beat a very well coached and talented Marblehead team who we had seen the week before. That, you know, they make big plays, and yeah, especially with Andreas, they lost him right in the first quarter.
Well, now I don't know that. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand it. He twisted his ankle, and they ran the Wildcat with Lynch.
Oh yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, and he had something like 38 carries. So that's just unbelievable to lose your quarterback and at that level of competition. Be able to win that game, and you got to hand it to them. So they deserve what they got. I mean, I'm looking forward to, and hopefully they continue on, because I coached there for years, and it'd be certainly great for the school and for the community.
You know, it's weird, Paul. I mean, Bill Belichick of the Patriots mentioned Rob Gronkowski and Mark Bavaro in the same sentence, and he compared Gronkowski with Bavaro, lauding Bavaro's blocking skills as well as his pass catching and so on. And every time I hear that name, I think of the time you told us one time at school. You were at school after coaching Mark Bavaro in high school, and your comment was the kid has never dropped a pass. He just doesn't drop a pass in practice. He doesn't drop a pass. Anything you throw at him, he catches. And I still remember that. So you do have some pretty fond memories of Danvers.
Yeah, I certainly do, and I still stay in touch with Mark, and he's such a humble guy, but, you know, that's a great credit for Gronkowski, because Parcells and Belichick both say Mark was the best they had coached. And I think, you know, we're all shooting for him to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And hopefully he will. Statistics-wise, he's up there.
Oh yeah,
not better than some of the ones that are already in. So we'd love to see that, but you know, Danvers, you know, has had their struggles over the years. I know that for sure, and to see them with one more game being able to play at Gillette Stadium would be huge for that community and those kids. And you know, we saw them play against Revere,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they must have had an off night, because I'll tell you, they must have played well to beat Marblehead at Marblehead.
You know, I've seen them several times, Paul, and they played certainly very well against Peabody. They played very well against Beverly. And, you know, their defense just seems to be getting better and better. And, boy, they've got an offensive and defensive line. Those kids are big, but they're also pretty athletic. So I think, you know, the you always talk about technique. I'm guessing that their technique is pretty good too, because you know, they've got the best defense in the league. They've only given up 104 points in 10 games, and they've played some of the iron.
Yeah, and I think I saw it also at the end of last season too. Defensively, I thought they were really well coached when they played Gloucester. We did that game, and you know, they're not only up front are they good, but their secondary and their linebackers really come up and they tackle well. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's huge too. Having those aggressive kids in the defensive backfield. So, yeah, this should be a great game against Melrose. Now, I had talked to one of the Beverly coaches about Melrose because they scrimmaged them, and they said Melrose is the real deal. So this should be a good ball game Friday night. I guess it's at Manning Field, right, Rick?
Yeah, it's Manning Field on Friday night, and we're going to be there. I imagine Bill and Tim will probably be doing the broadcast, but you and I are certainly we can go there. I've got the passes. I've got the MIAA passes. We're all clear. So we can
love to go.
Yeah, me too. I plan on being there, so that's good. You know, the other thing of note, Paul, is that if Milton wins down south in their game, it could be you know, Steve Dembowski against the Northeast Conference in the Super Bowl.
Wouldn't that be ironic? Yeah,
it would be something. I mean, I don't want to jinx Danvers. I want Danvers to win, but you know, being a conference fan. But wouldn't it be amazing to see him in the Super Bowl his first year down in Milton playing against Danvers?
I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's done a great job, and certainly he's proven himself up here in the Northeast Conference. And I'm not shocked. If he's got talent, he knows what to do with it. So Steve's a very good coach. But that would be great if they could meet. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take care of that game on Friday. Now, Paul, it brings us to, you know, the week before Thanksgiving, and, Danvers has to play Friday, and then they have to play Gloucester Thursday. If they win Friday, they play Gloucester on Thanksgiving, and then they have to play the following Saturday. So, once again, you know, for the teams that go all the way, it's really a compact season in like a 10-day span.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll be honest with you. I just don't know how they're going to approach it. I guess every team's different. Every coach is different. It's kind of a dilemma you get into. I mean, if they win against Melrose, I mean, what do they do Thanksgiving Day?
Mm-hmm.
We had already gotten into the playoffs, and we still had a Thanksgiving Day game, and I certainly wouldn't hold those kids back, those the first stringers and the kids that played. They want to play in their Thanksgiving Day game,
sure.
Especially where it's home. So we'll see what happens, but it does kind of put you in kind of a, you know, a dilemma of how to handle it. But you know, I the kids want to play, and you take your chances. Some get hurt. I mean, if the game's out of hand, you take them out. But they want to play, and they want to win the game.
All right. Final thoughts, Paul. The Everett Peabody game. Any thoughts on that one?
The what game?
Everett and Peabody a couple of weeks ago.
I don't really know much about it, Rick.
Well, I'll tell you, we did that game, and I got to tell you, Paul, and I have to phrase this very carefully. Everett rolled out three offensive units of equal ability. I mean, it was like watching line changes at a hockey game, and it was just unbelievable. And then at the end of the game, and Peabody played so well, but then at the end of the game, the quarterback, who's 6'4", plays catch with his receiver, who's 6'6", and that was it.
Yeah, it's called a mismatch.
Yeah, really, really, and
that's something.
It's amazing to me. These guys lost four games this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, they, you know, Rick, it's just hard to predict,
mm-hmm.
especially in football. You know, but things that you probably don't know that happened, and it's tough to coordinate 11 kids to play well in offense and defense every week in and out. And there's no guarantees that practice you get better.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's the breaks of the game, too. So but beating the Preps certainly was huge for them that week. And, you know, it looks like in the future they're going to have some pretty good players coming up again.
Absolutely. Good to see Winthrop back in Gloucester the other night, too. Winthrop a little overmatched. They've got a lot of juniors and sophomores. One starting senior on offense, two starting seniors on defense. So Winthrop's going to be heard from next year. Paul, I'm just curious, before I let you go, have you had any contact with former players this fall, anybody who's still playing?
The only one is Jordan Shears. The rest of the boys have graduated, and Jordan got hurt last year. So he got to play again this year. They beat MIT on Saturday. So they ended their season on a winning note, and Jordan was captain. He was captain last year, captain again this year, and just a great kid, a really good football player. And he does all the dirty work, too. He'll do the blocking. He'll do the tackling. He'll carry the ball. He'll catch the ball. I mean, he just was an all-around great football player for Gloucester and for Curry. Coach Bandini told me that he was one of the best kids he's ever coached.
Excellent, excellent. You know, it's funny you mentioned the name Shears. I was at breakfast the other day and ran into former Beverly football coach and athletic director Bill Hamer. And Hamer was reminiscing about a game, and he mentioned one of the kids on his team back in the early 80s named Shears. And I'm betting it's either a father or an uncle to Jordan or some relative.
It is. They're originally from Beverly, and, yeah, it's the same family, and certainly a number of them have always have been very good players over the years at Beverly. And, you know, Jordan and his brother Drew were excellent players at Gloucester.
Right. Hey, you know what? Dip into the pros. Answer me one question, Paul. Can the Patriots keep it going?
Yeah, they will. I believe so. I think, yeah, Amendola certainly stepped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something? Certainly there's a drop-off between him and Edelman, but not much. I mean, the kid's a good player. And, you know, what's good about the Patriots is they seem to adjust to situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and conditions. And he doesn't make up excuses. They'll go to practice on Monday as if nothing ever happened, and people are just expected to fill in. And that's his attitude, and the players know it. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him keep it going.
Wow, wow. I hope you're right. All right, Coach, I'll talk to you later in the week. We'll see where we're going to meet, and we will be at Manning Field on Friday night.
All right, Rick, great.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Take
bye.
Care. Paul Ingram, who's the former Gloucester High School football coach. He's our football analyst on MSONewsSports.com. And I have to remind everybody of that record. Four straight Super Bowl appearances, 50-2 his last 4 years at Gloucester High School. 50 wins, 2 losses. 3 out of 4 years they won the Super Bowl. 2 of those years they were unbeaten, 13-0. Okay. Let's see. We'll take a break, see if we can check in with Scott Cooper, see what he's covering, and then we'll end it with the Gloucester Times sports editor, Nick Kukuru. Again, this is MSN Sports. It's North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, well, I'm getting shut out here. Didn't make connections with either Scott Cooper or Nick Kukuru, and that's a little bit disappointing, but we'll give it another shot here in just a second. Let's see who this is. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick? It's Nick.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, good. I was just talking about you, and we are on the air.
Oh, nice.
How's it going?
Excellent, thanks. How's it going?
Oh, very good. Were you you interviewing somebody?
No, I was cooking dinner.
Okay. All right. I forget the double duties you have to do now as a dad. How's everything going in the kitchen there, Nick?
Good.
Listen, are you a, you know, I know you got the Italian blood. Are you a good cook?
I think so. I don't know. My wife thinks so. But I don't know. I don't think anyone else has ever tried it before, so I don't have another act.
I'll ask Marissa. You got a
specialty? Just being nice.
What's your specialty?
I don't know. I like the barbecue. I got a smoker, so that's my favorite thing to use.
Okay, that's cool. All right, well, Nick Kukuru has joined us. He is the Gloucester Times sports editor. And, Nick, we'll start with the local. We'll start with the Gloucester football team. Disappointing that they didn't go further in the tournament. And it's kind of a weird year because they're sort of in the middle. They're competitive with the upper echelon in Division III, but they're really too powerful for the lower echelon in Division III. So kind of a tough year, but they've managed to carve out a very good season.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 8-2. I mean, that's a career high for Coach Zarilli. I mean, they got it done this year. I mean, I think if they were in the lodge, they'd probably have won maybe two more losses. But they seem to be, you know, pretty competitive with those upper echelon NEC teams. I mean, who knows what they would have done against PE? Who knows? And we'll see what they'll do against Danvers in a couple of weeks. In about a week. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, good season. Can't complain about 8-2. Seniors stepped up, especially on the line, and you know, in the backfield, a lot of underclassmen stepped up.
Yeah, tremendous amount of experience, and you know, up in the booth on Friday night, I was going crazy with the program on all the underclassmen they had in that backfield in the fourth quarter. I'd never seen so many kids out there.
Yeah, it's nice to see. It was kind of throwback when you see, you know, those fourth quarters, you know, starting. Let's get the program out to, you know, go deep into the roster. It used to be a weekly occurrence, and now, this year it kind of was.
Yeah.
Throw back to that. And it was nice to see, you know, some of those sophomores, get a chance to play and, you know, sometimes play against the other team's starters.
Nick, I know you'll have a retrospective at some point. You always do. You look back at the season, either at the end of the season or at the end of the school year, whichever. But is there somebody on the football team right now that you might mention as sort of an unsung hero, someone who really has surprised with his play and his contributions?
I think two of the unsung heroes this year that have kind of gone, two seniors actually, two guys we know well, but Patrick Goss and Andrew Latassa kind of, you know, fly under the radar. When I was out for a week, Phil Stacey actually did a feature story on the two of them. It was real good. I mean, they kind of, a couple underclassmen, you know, stepped up in that offensive backfield. They were glad to, you know, let those underclassmen get some of those carries that they earned. But they've been doing it all season in the secondary. The secondary this year has been a strong point, and sometimes it's not the case with Gloucester. I mean, it's the toughest position to play on the field, and I mean, I think they've held their own against everybody.
Yeah, I want to mention Alex Militello again because
I think he's another one.
He had so much struggles. The kicking game was having problems at the beginning of the year. He worked at it. He certainly has improved both punting and place kicking, and he's catching the ball. He's caught some big plays, none bigger than against Beverly. And then on defense, he's been tremendous.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's probably been their best player in the secondary on defense. And then, he hasn't been used much on offense, and then he comes up and makes the biggest catch of the year for
right.
him against Beverly.
Right. All right, Nick, take us around the Cape Ann with the tournament. I just got through talking to both St. Mary's boys and girls soccer coaches. And I know that, it was the St. Mary's girls soccer team that eliminated Manchester Essex, and that had to be a crushing blow for the kids.
It was. I thought Manchester Essex had more scoring chances than St. Mary's. And St. Mary's kind of scored on, kind of a tough mistake, communication issue. One of the Manchester Essex backs passed it back to the goalie, and there was a little contact on the play that wasn't called, and she didn't get enough on the pass, and the goalie and the forward kind of convened on the ball at the same time, and it bounced, the wrong way for Manchester, the right way for St. Mary's into the net. That was very entertaining for a 1-0 game. Very entertaining game. It was a bloodbath. They were killing each other out there, and the refs were letting them play. And I mean, it really favored St. Mary's. Had a couple 6-footers, I believe. You know, their smallest girl was probably the same size as Manchester Essex's biggest girl. So, I mean, bodies flying all over the place. It was entertaining to watch. I don't think that was the type of game that Manchester Essex wants to play.
I don't know if the parents thought that was entertaining,
oh,
but
the parents did not. they were not too happy. They were letting the ref hear about it.
Oh my goodness!
I think that could have affected some calls in the second half as well. When you know they were down her throat all game, this official, and she wasn't calling much. I don't think they were too happy because their best defenseman injured her knee in a really bad collision. There was no call. And there was a play at the end of the first half where Manchester Essex striker, Hallie Richard, was one of the best scorers. She took a forearm to the face in the box, and it was blatant, and there was no whistle. And it would have been a penalty kick in the last couple minutes of the first half. So a couple tough breaks there. But, I mean, in the end, St. Mary's made the play, and Manchester had more opportunities and couldn't score.
Well, the girls will be back. And, the field hockey team, what can you say when you go up against Watertown?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was writing today, I did kind of a little wrap-up of the state tournament, and, the comparison that came to me was, that Manchester Essex field hockey, it was kind of, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Utah Jazz running up against Michael Jordan's Bulls, how many championships could they have, if they didn't run into the longest field hockey win streak in the country, history of the country. So, they could have 6-7 state titles up on their banners in the ME gym right now if it wasn't for Watertown. But, Watertown's just a juggernaut. They earned it. They were the better team, and it was apparent.
One thing I just realized recently, Nick, is that you look at some of the smaller schools in like Manchester in Division 5 or Division 6, whatever it might be, and you think, they couldn't compete with Beverly or Danvers or any of these things. But wait a minute. In some of these other sports, like field hockey, like tennis, like golf.
Field hockey and tennis especially.
Yeah, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, they are. Especially in tennis, I know the best tennis team's probably the Division I champ, but you go top to bottom, that Division III bracket, with all those smaller schools, there's a tennis culture there. Those Division III brackets are far deeper than the Division I bracket.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. All right, what about other tournament teams? Rockport Boys Soccer got to the tourney, did they not?
Yeah, they lost to Manchester Essex 1-0. Another tough one, actually. I thought Rockport outplayed it on the day, but Manchester, was opportunistic. They took advantage of that one chance, and, when they get a lead, they're tough to crack. Coach Billsbury does a very good job. They are composed, they play their game, and they don't relent. As well as Rockport played, I thought actually Rockport played very well, but they just couldn't get one in.
Okay, and Manchester Essex football has a chance to have a winning season here on Thanksgiving.
I don't want to say they should because they already beat Georgetown 35-0. We saw what that means with Gloucester and Beverly football.
Right, but they should be favored anyway.
Oh yeah, that game, I think it was back in week 3, wasn't even as close as the score indicates. Manchester kind of called up the dogs late, and it got ugly.
All right. Anything else you want to mention, Nick? I presume you watched the Patriots yesterday.
Yeah, I sure did. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to handle watching those games. It's going to be like my grandfather. He couldn't watch the Bruins for his health.
I know, I got to tell you.
I think that's going to be me in about 15 years.
My wife was so funny yesterday. She said, I got to take a shower. I'm all sweaty. She was all worked up over the game. It cracked me up.
That game had a little bit of everything. Both teams tried to blow it. Refs were horrible.
Yep.
In the end, they couldn't ruin it. It was a great finish.
Yeah, and again, Nick, people, I think we've been spoiled. I know we've been spoiled, obviously. The stellar play of the New England Patriots, and of course, having Tom Brady over the last 15 years. But we need to be reminded of the elitism of the athletic ability of all the National Football League players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why it kind of bugs me, they're 9 games in now. But, after like week 2, people are talking 16-0, 16-0. Like, this is professional football.
Right.
You have a bad day, you're going to lose. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yeah, and you know what? It only takes one guy to have a bad day or bad play.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's... Yep. That's what people don't understand, and so it's a great ride. And it's funny, I've heard on talk radio in Boston, they were trashing what's his name, Felger and Maz were trashing Gostkowski and saying, you know, he's never had a pressure, he's never had a pressure kick. Hello.
They probably still drum something up.
I know, anything negative. Well, Nick, it's always fun talking with you. Now we got Danvers, Melrose. Do you know anything about Melrose?
I just know they're very good.
Okay.
They made the Super Bowl last year and lost, and they were the North bracket favorite coming into the season. You know, they were expected to be here. They're undefeated. Okay. They play in the Middlesex League, which has proven to be outstanding in the tournament. So, I mean, as good as Danvers has played, they're the favorite. But I think Danvers has relished that underdog role all season. So you beat Tewksbury and Tewksbury, you know, you can't really count them out. They have the chance. And their style of play, Danvers' style of play, is perfect for this tournament where, you know, they're physical, they like to grind, and, you know, they're patient. They don't care if they get down. They're going to stick to their game plan. They're going to keep hitting you. And, you know, you have to respect that type of game plan.
Yeah, and much like the hockey team in Danvers, the football team doesn't make mistakes.
Exactly, they don't. They kind of remind me a bit, I'd like to see them play at Gloucester 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so tough, and they wear teams down. And, you know, maybe you'll get a little edge on them early, but they're going to keep hitting you and keep hitting you, and, you know, you're going to have to slug with them for, you know, full four quarters, and not a lot of teams can do that.
Do you have any idea of the status of Matt Andreas?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
All right. Well,
they probably won't say. We'll probably have to find out Friday night.
Yeah. All right. Well, we certainly wish Danvers luck. And will you be going to that game on Friday?
I wasn't planning on. Actually, I have a wedding rehearsal that night, so I'll be occupied.
Something other than football on a Friday night. Good for you.
Exactly.
All right, I'll let you get back to your meal, and thanks as always, Nick.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
All right, take care. That's Nick Kukru, who is the Gloucester Times sports editor. Great guy and very knowledgeable, and there you go. So we do wish Danvers well in their big playoff game on Friday night. We'll be there. It will be broadcast on Radio Channel A starting at 7 p.m., pregame around 6:30. Bill Newell and Tim Kearns and I and Paul Ingram will all be there, and we'll have interviews with the coaches coming up during the week as well. So we hope that Danvers can carry that banner on down to Gillette for the Northeast Conference. But they've got a tall task facing Melrose this week, Friday night at Manning Field. And hopefully there'll be a good turnout of Northeast Conference supporters as well. Well, that's going to take care of it for tonight. Don't forget North Shore today, every day, usually posted by 8:30 or 8 o'clock with Bill Newell and myself. And we have interviews, and we just kind of kick around the topics of the day, let you know what's going on in and around the North Shore. And again, please email us with your comments, complaints, or thoughts, or suggestions at msonewsports.com or msonewsports.com. Let me do that again. I got the name right. It's msonewsports.com or msonewsports. But it's at gmail.com. So msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Okay. Well, that's it for me. Thanks for joining us, and thank you to our guest tonight as well, the girls and boys soccer coaches, respectively, from St. Mary's High School in Lynn, Jim Foley and Mike DiAgostino, to former Gloucester football coach Paul Ingram. I appreciate it. And Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, appreciate it as well. We'll be back next Monday night, North Shore Today, every day around 8 o'clock or so. Posted on the website. Fridays at 10 a.m., Trending Now with Josh Arnold. And, of course, football this Friday night at 7 p.m. on msonewsports.com. Thanks. On behalf of our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Be safe.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.